Podcast, Midweek Edition.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One. It's 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Bosses up for Manager of the Month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes. Listen on Audio Boom or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, one and all. A very warm welcome along to The Punt podcast. As you've heard, this is the midweek edition and we have a huge midweek of football coming up with the Champions League first leg quarterfinals, and we have Arsenal in the Europa League to look forward to as well. Dave Kellner here alongside Alex Dunn in the studio to preview these games on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday nights respectively. First of all, a good morning to you, Mr. Dunn.
Hello, David Kellner. Hello, listeners.
Are you well? How are you? What have you been doing with yourself this bank holiday weekend?
I've been off work. I've been off for a week. It's my first day back. What have I been doing? I went up to watch Newcastle against Huddersfield.
That was good.
I went to Wetherby Races.
Otherwise,
just generally socialising, drinking too much and sleeping too much.
Always good.
Yeah, not wrong.
As long
that.
As you get that combination of drink and sleep.
Yeah, that's been the
imbalance.
The main bulk of it, I'd say.
That's good. We've got a big midweek. We've got the four games in the Champions League. That one game we're going to look at in the Europa League. I just want to start by talking about Dele Alli. Just momentarily, because people were saying that he needs to be left at home playing FIFA this summer and suddenly scores two goals against Chelsea and he's back in the spotlight.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think we're going to touch on this actually on the punt on Thursday
of
as
course,
well.
Of course, yeah.
Get some slightly more informed opinion than my own. But I like him a lot and I would like to see him play for England. But at the same time, having watched England twice last week, I actually quite like the system that England have at the minute. And he sort of doesn't fit into that particularly well. He'd have to adapt a fair bit and maybe play a slightly more restrained game. But look, he's been out of form quite badly recently. That goal, by the way.
Oh, that was fantastic, wasn't it? That first touch was unbelievable.
Well, it's just one movement.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
To take that ball that's dropping over your shoulder out of the sky is one of the most difficult skills in football.
Mm.
I know that because I've never mastered it. and the way he did it and then slotted it past Willy Caballero was sensational. He's a sensational footballer, isn't he, Dele Alli?
He is, and he certainly has to be in the squad.
Yes.
Does he have to be in the team? I'm still not convinced, and I think that there's worse players than him that fit into the system better, i.e. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who perhaps may get the nod.
You can ask that question on Thursday, can't you?
I will.
Yes, make sure you do. Let's get stuck into these matches then, starting with Sevilla versus Bayern Munich, which is Tuesday 7:45. Sevilla are 4-1 to win this game. The draw 14-5, Bayern Munich 4-6, as ever here at William Hill. Lots of enhancements on the website and on the app as well. Luis Muriel to score and Sevilla to win was 6-1. That's been enhanced to 7-1. Robert Lewandowski to score and Bayern Munich to win. That was 6-5. That's been enhanced to 13-10. Having seen Sevilla against Manchester United, I don't fear much for Bayern Munich, in all honesty. If United had gone for the jugular in those two legs, they would have won the game. But the insipid football they've played for the majority of the season, United, seeped through in that two-legged last 16 matchup, and Sevilla went through on aggregate the sixth in La Liga currently, and they haven't been in great form all season domestically. They have just drawn with Barcelona coming into this match, which will give them some confidence, albeit they lost that two-goal lead late in the day there. But Bayern Munich, they're good things, aren't they, 4-6?
No, David. You naive little boy. Sevilla are really good at home. They are. And for all that you said that they'll have taken confidence from that Barca game, well, they would if you'd have offered them before the game.
Yes.
But after 87 minutes when they're 2-0 up, you'd have thought maybe not. that was a bizarre end to that match, and it just goes to show what Barca can do. I've got a soft spot for Sevilla because they are a team that I will put in my acca every single week when they're at home, never away, but at home I will, and they are as dependable at home as the big sides in Europe, yet they are not priced up as well accordingly, are they? They never are. So while you'll be getting a Barca, a Real at eights on at home, Sevilla you'll be getting threes on, and that's quite nice. I don't want to back Bayern. I think it's priced up wrong, personally.
Okay.
I'd have Bayern very much...
Would you have Bayern odds against them
I was about to say even money.
Yes.
They obviously deserve to be favourites. I'm in no way questioning that. But Sevilla at 4-1 at home. Make no mistake, Bayern should qualify. They're 7-1 on to qualify, and I expect them to go through. Not without any drama whatsoever, but you've got to think that for Sevilla, they know that they have to get something here. I know that we saw them against Manchester United actually go and upset Man U at Old Trafford, but that's a rarity. I was surprised by that. And like you said, Man U had the game for the taking if they'd have just shown a bit of gumption at any stage or attacking threat. I don't think Sevilla are a good thing to win the match by any means, but they certainly deserve more respect than they've been afforded by our traders. So Sevilla plus a goal at 6-5 looks stonking as far as I'm concerned. I think they'll score in this match. And the fact is, if they do score, then for that bet to not land, you're needing Bayern to score twice. I think Sevilla are going to be up for this one, and they will give Bayern one heck of a game. Now, Bayern Munich, we were talking about Sevilla coming here off the back of a draw against Barca. Bayern played Dortmund at the weekend and were 5-0 up at half-time. Not bad when that's the next best team in your division and you're sweeping them away like that. Of course, it does help that at the end of every season they buy one or two of Dortmund's best players. That's quite a nice system that Bayern have got going on there, to be honest.
It is.
But no, I think that Sevilla plus a goal would be the way that I go. They just deserve more respect. It's more the case that Bayern at 4-6 is not a great bet, as far as I'm concerned.
Some stats that I like coming into this, all these stats on the podcast, or the majority of them, a majority of them will come from Opta. From this side
of
the
studio.
Yes,
Dave doesn't do his own work.
No. Robert Lewandowski's got 22 in his last 28 Champions League appearances since the start of the 2015-16 campaign. So we're going back three seasons. I mentioned that enhancement for him to score and Bayern Munich to win. Him to score the first goal of the game is 13-5. He's 4-6 to score any time. And Jupp Heynckes has won his last 11 Champions League games as a manager now as well, which is an incredible run. That's the longest in the history of the competition if you're looking to side with Bayern Munich. I fancy Bayern Munich. Alex looking at Sevilla plus one on the handicap as well. If you do fancy Sevilla to score, but Bayern Munich, as you mentioned, maybe to get two or more in the game, Bayern Munich to win the match and both teams to score in the match, 21-10 here with William Hill, which is another angle in. So difference of opinion here.
Yeah, but mine's more of a price play than anything else.
That's fair.
But I just think it's priced up wrong.
Okay.
So I can't side with Bayern at that price.
Juventus versus Real Madrid is the other game on Tuesday. Juventus 7-4, the draw 11-5, Real Madrid 8-5. Enhanced odds, Gonzalo Higuain to score and Juventus to win was 16-5. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And Cristiano Ronaldo to score and Real Madrid to win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 11-4. As ever, these enhancements available at sports.williamhill.com. Just click on the football section and find the match you're looking for, and you'll be able to see enhancements in the lead-up to the game. This will be the 20th meeting between these two clubs in European competition. All 19 of them have been, or the previous 19, have been played in the Champions League or the European Cup. Real Madrid have won 9 times, Juventus have won 8 times, and there have been 2 draws. And it's priced up accordingly, isn't it? With not much to choose between the two sides. And I love this matchup because it's a complete contrast in styles, which makes it so intriguing.
And in recent years as well, when these two have played each other in the Champions League, which they have done a lot, I've been quite bullish one way or the other. I don't know what's going to happen here. I dabble. I genuinely don't know here, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to move on, but It's really difficult. What I will say is, I think Real Madrid to qualify at 4-9 is fantastic.
Okay.
Real will go through. They will, I won't say annihilate, because Juve don't get annihilated, but I can see Real winning at the Bernabeu 2-0 or 3-0. So, if I'm saying that's going to happen, then what happened in this first leg is
immaterial.
Pretty much. As long as Real don't go stupid, which they do sometimes. Do I want to back Real at 8-5 to win a game that they don't have to win? Not particularly. Do I want to back Juve at 7-4 at home? That's an opportunity you don't get very often. I'm probably more tempted by Juve in the first leg, to be honest.
Well, why don't you look away from the match betting market? Because you've got Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
At 6-5 to score any time here. Ronaldo has scored more Champions League goals against Juventus than any other player. He's got 7 against them. That's in 5 matches. Mm. And he's scored in all 5 against Juventus as well, historically. So Ronaldo at 6-5 to score any time. We all know about his incredible Champions League record. And you look at Real Madrid as well. They've scored in 23 successive Champions League games now. That's a run stretching back to May 2016. 60 goals in total in that spell. The likelihood is Juventus won't be able to hold Real Madrid at bay in this matchup, even at home.
Yeah, that's true. But I wouldn't back him at 6-5. I'd back Gareth Bale at 7-4.
Would you? I don't think he's going to play, you see, Bale. See, he played 90 minutes at the weekend. That suggests to me that Zinedine Zidane has other options in mind.
But he's been really good recently. And I completely take on board what you're saying, and you'd have to wait on team news. But if he starts, I can see him notching in this, to be honest.
7-4 rather than 6-5 Ronaldo, though.
Personal decision.
Okay.
Ronaldo, of course, scored 4 the last time he played. He was rested at the weekend, and just before the international break, he notched 4 against Girona in a 6-3 win. You can't really say much about Ronaldo that hasn't been said already. Although, what I will say is, he's not a great season by his standards. He's been...
The second half of the season, I think, has been very good.
He's warmed up.
He has warmed up.
But he was pretty cold.
Well, he was very cold at the start of the season, but it's testament to his quality that he still managed to turn this campaign around, and at the end of the season you look at those goal score statistics for Ronaldo and you'll think, wow, he's been fantastic and phenomenal yet again.
I do like Bale. If he starts, I would have to back him. I've just got a I hate when people say this. I've just got a feeling about him, Dave. But it's just that kind of game where I can see them, if he does start, almost being distracted by Ronaldo and Benzema or whoever's playing up there. I think the both teams to score is not a market I'll normally go with Juve, but I think in this game it's probably pretty likely.
I agree.
So I think that'd probably be the way that I'd go. It's 10-11. I think it's fair. And I'd rather stick with that. Outright betting in this first leg is a no-no for me. I'd personally live it.
Got to remember as well, Juventus unbeaten in 25 matches.
Yeah.
That's a run that stretches back to mid-November. They're 4 points clear of Napoli at the top of Serie A. And even though they were outplayed by Spurs in large parts of their last 16 encounter, they had that 3-minute spell where Spurs maybe just lacked concentration, were a bit naive in that moment, and Juventus got those 2 goals away at Wembley. And one more market that just does catch my eye, if you're looking at the goal scorer markets, anytime goal scorers doubled, which on the website is under scorer match specials, and the same on the app as well, Cristiano Ronaldo and Gonzalo Higuain to score at any time, those two together.
Yeah.
9-2. Higuain scored 5 Champions League goals this season and unfinished business with Real Madrid.
You almost forget that he played for them.
Well, for six seasons he played for Real Madrid. And you look at his goal scoring record for Madrid, I think he got 100-odd goals in 100-odd games. I mean, he was scoring almost a goal a game for Madrid. And I think a lot of people thought he was quite harshly treated by them when he moved to Napoli and now with Juventus. So I think he'll be...
I think he's great.
He'll be bang up for this, won't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't look like a footballer, does he?
No.
At all.
But neither do you, although you are rubbish, so that's probably why. I think, as well, I know I've put up both teams to score. You mentioned Juve have been on this long unbeaten run in all competitions. the amount of goals they've conceded is frighteningly low. So they lost to Sampdoria. Their next goal, that was, what, in mid-November. They then had a busy schedule, and the next goal they conceded was on the 30th of December. Then they've got another run where they don't concede a goal until they play Tottenham in February. They did let in two there. Then they let one in against Tottenham in the second leg, and then they let one in against AC Milan at the weekend. Mm. That's it since November.
Yeah.
And that's in that spell that you've mentioned. They don't let many goals in, but they don't come up against this quality of opposition very often. They did leak a few against Tottenham, and they will concede a few, particularly in the second leg here. But the first leg, maybe a score draw, 1-1 could be a correct score that we go for here, 11-2. But the outright betting's difficult. Like you said, I'd play goal scorers. I'd look for something slightly more creative in this game. But Real Madrid to go through at 4-9, if you are planning a short price acca and you don't mind your money being tied up for a couple of weeks, that's the way to go.
That's Italy versus Spain. Let's move on to Spain versus Italy on Wednesday night, because we've got Barcelona versus Roma Wednesday night, 7:45. We'll save the big one till last. Barca 1-4 to win this game. The draw 9-2. Roma in the betting at 10-1. The enhancements, Lionel Messi to score and Barcelona to win, 2-0, 3-0 or 3-1. That was 100-30. It's been enhanced to 7-2. Edin Dzeko to score and Roma to win was 16-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1. As ever, loads of enhancements and offers on the William Hill website and on the app as well. And Barcelona pretty much home and hosed in La Liga domestically, 9 points clear of Atletico Madrid, despite being held 2-2 by Sevilla away from home. I say held, they rescued a point in that game, coming from 2-0 down. Roma have had an indifferent season in the main, but they've been pretty solid defensively in the last 4 or 5 weeks. They came through their last 16 encounter with Shakhtar Donetsk on away goals. But Barcelona are now unbeaten in 9 successive Champions League games. They've conceded just 2 goals in that spell as well. They've scored 13 themselves. And Spanish clubs have it over Italian clubs. Much better, stronger league. Mm. And Barcelona, rightly 1-4 market leaders in 90 minutes here.
Yeah, it probably is fair. Because you look at it originally and you go, it's a bit short. And then you think, well, yeah, but it's sort of justified, isn't it? It'd be a massive shock if Roma were to win this, or even draw.
Yes.
It really would be.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, this would be a much more intriguing tie if the first leg was in Italy. Mm. Because Roma could feasibly turn Barca over there, or at least grab a draw, and then have something to cling on to. My worry for Roma is that if they don't score here, then they're going to be pretty scuppered. I think Barca will score 2-3 here.
Yes.
But I do think Roma will score. I think they will. Just to give them that little bit of hope for the second leg. So the market that I'm immediately drawn to, and I'm surprised it's such a big price, is Barca to win and both teams to score at 9-5. When you think that Barca falls on to win outright, and you've mentioned their defence has been solid, and this season it has been a lot better than it had been in recent years, but they still do leak the odd goal. And Roma are almost not Italian in the way that they attack. They've got a lot of flair attacking players, and then they've got Edin Dzeko, who's, as we know, he's a good finisher and he's a real focal point of the attack, but he almost doesn't, if you were to describe the players around him that are buzzing around him all the time, it just sort of works for Roma. Now I say it works up to an extent, because they're not going to win.
He's been easily their most influential player this season, Dzeko, especially in the Champions League. I mean, he's been involved. They've only got 11 goals in the Champions League this season. He scored 4 of them and assisted a couple. So he's been, you mentioned the focal point.
Yeah.
They've been heavily reliant on him this season.
And I mean, you're looking at some of the betting, and he's 9-4 any time, which is, it's okay. Mm. But he's 9-1 to score first. I don't mind that, you know. I could see Roma scoring first here.
Yeah.
And then Barca going, all right, you've angered us now. Fine, we'll go and score a few past you. I think Barca will win. No question about that. But Barca and both teams score 9-5, I think, is a really enticing play, as is one of our enhanced odds offers, Dave.
Lionel Messi to score and Barca to win 2-0, 3-0 or 3-1. That's the one I mentioned. And I think that is a fantastic enhancement, or fantastic price at 7-2 as well. Since the start of last season, Messi has got 17 in 17 Champions League appearances. He scored 12 Champions League goals against Italian clubs in 19 starts as well. And he's got 2-2 versus Roma. I think that's a belting bet, because I can easily see it finishing 2-0, 3-0. Or as you mentioned, if Roma do nick one, Barca could easily get three in this game. And if they get three, he's going to be on the score sheet.
Yes, agreed. And I just think they're probably the three most likely score lines in the match. He's the most likely goal scorer. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that 7-2 is actually okay. Another player that does stick out like a sore thumb price-wise is Ivan Rakitic anytime at 6-1. Just given the fact that you're looking around and you're looking at Paulinho 5-2, Denis Suarez 5-2, you know, Alex Vidal 16-5, Iniesta 4-1, obviously not all of those are going to start, but then you've got Rakitic at 6s. I just think it's overpriced.
Okay.
No more than that, but if you are looking for something at a slightly more palatable price, that could be the way to go.
Liverpool versus Manchester City is the last of these quarter-final first leg matches. Wednesday 7:45. Liverpool 9-5 to win it. The draw 12-5. Manchester City in the betting at 7-5. Tons of enhancements available on this game on Wednesday night, and this is interesting to say the least, because Liverpool are the only team to have beaten Manchester City in the Premier League this season. Beat them 4-3, dominated that match at Anfield earlier on in the campaign, were 4-1 up, and then conceded twice late to make those last couple of minutes shaky, but won the game 4-3. And there's a lot of talk about special evenings in Europe at Anfield, that atmosphere that is reportedly like no other, and some people think that's just cliche, but I've spoken to many a guest on the FWA section of the Punt podcast, and these journalists have all said it is a white hot atmosphere at Anfield. The crowd get involved, it inspires the players, and that's borne out in the statistics as well. They haven't lost a home match in Europe since October 2014, when they were beaten 3-0 by Real Madrid at Liverpool. They're now unbeaten in 14. I mean, that is an exceptional record at Anfield.
Yeah, it is. And if they were up against anyone other than Man City, you'd probably go, oh, they've got a chance. But the fact that you can directly correlate the form lines between the two so far this season and go, well, Man City are clearly better, why are they only just favourites here? That's one side of it. And I'm not going to be completely of that view throughout, because honestly, as a complete neutral here, and I am a complete neutral, I have no affinity to either side. I actually quite like both sides, I think.
Well, but both sides play such an exciting
exactly.
brand of football, don't they?
And I don't particularly like Man United, and I don't particularly like Chelsea and Arsenal. No offence, but you know what I mean? They always seem to be complaining and whinging about stuff, whereas these two just sort of get on with it. What to go for?
You know what I like here as well?
Go on.
I think you've got Pep Guardiola, who's clearly a deep-thinking manager.
Mm.
He will have a plan in mind, I believe, how to set up his team so they don't have a repeat of the performance at Anfield from earlier on in the season. I think Jurgen Klopp just puts his team out. He's obviously a fan of the high press and wants his team to work very hard from front to back, basically. But he puts his team out, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. He'll make substitutions, but he won't change things tactically, where Guardiola will. And I think that's the difference in these two managers. I think you've got a manager that has a plan and will stick to it and will go all out and attack. And you've got Guardiola, who is a bit more tactically astute. That's just my feeling, and people might disagree with me.
True. I can't wait for this. I'm genuinely excited for it.
It's going to be unbelievable.
And I can't think of many. Like, the Champions League's brilliant, it is. But there are some games that you just can't get excited for. And if I think back through my life so far, games I've really looked forward to. I really look forward to Liverpool-Chelsea. Going back all that time when there was the ghost goal, I remember watching that and thinking, "Boy, I'm buzzing for this." It's a team again, two teams I have no connection to. Man United, when they played Real Madrid and Fat Ronaldo scored a few and David Beckham came back, I remember watching that and thinking, "I'm genuinely this is it, the pinnacle." I'm as excited for this game.
I think it's because you've got such a young set of players on either side as well. You look at these two sides average the youngest starting 11 in the Champions League, the teams left in the competition. Mm. So you know you've got this for the next 5, 6, 7 years now.
Yeah.
And you've got two, in different ways, charismatic managers as well. Jurgen Klopp, maybe slightly more animated, but Guardiola can go bonkers on the touchline as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes it so... you can immerse yourself in this football match.
Completely. Man City, I think, will come out on top over the two legs.
Yes.
They're 4-9. I think I'd have to side with that. I'm not particularly looking forward to the second leg. I'll say that much now. I don't like games at the Etihad. They just don't... The atmosphere's not
there.
There's
not the same sort of
plus. Not the same. But anyway, that's for a later podcast. Bets for this one.
Yes.
I'm going to go a bit mad on Leroy Sané here. Because he scored against Liverpool in both fixtures so far this season.
Yes.
Now, I know that the game at the Etihad, they were playing against 10 men, but he still scored, so that's okay. Got two in that one. And, of course, he did score in the defeat at Anfield just a couple of months ago. He's 9-4 to score any time.
He scored
here.
At the weekend, didn't he, as well? I think he scored first at the weekend.
Yes, it was an absolute peach of a volley, yes. Yeah. Lovely goal. He's just been brilliant. Well, he's gone from being a fringe player at the start of the season, and they played him at left back, I remember. I think it might have been against Everton, I can't remember.
I think in the weekend they kind of played him at left wing back
but
position.
They realised he can't take throw-ins, so they were like, right, get back up there, we'll put Fabian Delph there, and turns out that's worked okay. I just think he's great, and the fact he's 9-4, when you look around, Aguero 11-10, Jesus 5-4, Sterling 8-5, it's quite a jump out then to 9-4 for Leroy Sané.
Yeah, Aguero has scored in all four of his Champions League away appearances this season
and
so
I'm,
far.
If he plays, I'm certainly not putting you off that, but 9-4 is great.
Are we going to get like 6 or 7 goals in this game?
I'd like to say yes. I'd be surprised if it's exactly like that again.
Over 3.5 is 7-4, which I think will be attract a lot of bettors.
That's not bad.
You know, like if you're not exactly sure what's going to happen, but you think, wow, it's going to be entertaining.
Well, that's sort of what I'd hope for here. So in terms of bets, I'd back Sané anytime 9-4, and I'd also back, not just because it rhymes and it's the same price, but I'd back Sadio Mane at 9-4 as well, because I think they're both overpriced when you look at the players around them.
Yeah, okay.
So Salah's 19-20, Firmino's 8-5.
Yeah.
Why is Mane such a big price? Well, it's because he doesn't score as many. That's the fact. But I think that they're worth backing at that price. Going back to Sané, I'd back him to score first at 15-2. That's massive. And I'd also back him to score 2 or more at 14-1. That's huge price.
Okay.
So as a staking plan, you'd go half a point on 2 or more, 2 points on Sané anytime, and a point on him to score first. I think you'll have a good run for your money there, whatever happens. And if he does score first, then you're enjoying the rest of the match, then, aren't you? You know, your quid's in already.
I like I'm going the over 3.5. I think we're going to get the game we expect. And that's 7-4, so I do love that bet. And we went to, like, we've been talking 6 or 7, 8 minutes maybe about this match. Mm. And Mo Salah, you only just mentioned him 30 seconds ago for the first time. Just the 37 in 41 games this season in all competitions for Salah, and got another late winner. Even when he's not playing well, he scores. He's 19-20, and when you think he's just a shade of odds on with that sort of strike rate,
that
might not be a bad bet either.
You mentioned the price, and I go, that's too short.
Yeah,
and I still think it is, but at the same time, it keeps happening, so why not? And of course, him against De Bruyne, what a matchup that is. Potentially, well, they will be first and second, if you like, in the Player of the Year. But who's going to edge it?
Yeah. Can't wait. Anfield, Wednesday night. Make sure you tune in to William Hill's In Play Radio and listen to the betting commentary of that one. Arsenal versus CSKA Moscow to move on to the Europa League. Thursday, 8:05 kickoff. The Gunners, 4-11. The draw, 7-2. CSKA Moscow in the betting at 7-1. I don't know what there is left to say about Arsenal that hasn't already been said. They get to the precipice, the edge of the cliff, and then Arsene Wenger seems to just somehow put the team into reverse gear, and they manage to just draw themselves back slightly so they're not falling overboard. I'm putting together lots of different analogies
here. That's nice, yeah. I'm enjoying it there.
It's ridiculous there for him, because you think he's definitely going to leave at the end of the season and he can't last the summer, Wenger. Then they knock out AC Milan over two legs. They win again at the weekend, 3-0. Despite looking a bit lackluster against Stoke City, it has to be said, and Stoke were unfortunate to be beaten by that scoreline. But they've got a very solid chance of progressing here. They've got a very solid chance of winning the Europa League.
Yeah, they do. The 4-11 is okay. It is what it is. It's probably about right. I mean, they're just so uninspiring at the minute, Arsenal. I watched them yesterday and they're just so meek. And it's a bizarre situation that they find themselves in. The fans aren't turning up. Not all of them. But there's healthy, well, unhealthy swathes of seats in and amongst their fans. And that'll be the same in this one. I just think it's difficult to... Well, no, I think it's difficult to back Arsenal in the league at the minute because the appetite's not there and they've got nothing to play for. They don't. They do have something to play for here, and this is their avenue into the Champions League next season.
Yep.
So as such, I'd expect a better performance. Now, you go back to the Stoke game, and of course, Mkhitaryan didn't start. Lacazette didn't start, but he's coming back from a bit of an injury. Ozil did play and played through, so I was a little surprised at that. They didn't play Granit Xhaka from the start either. There'll be a fair bit of rotating going on, so I'd wait on team news before finalising bets, but it's so hard to find any kind of value here because none of Arsenal's players are prolific.
No, it's
they don't have a standout striker, for example, at the minute.
It's interesting you say that because Alexandre Lacazette, who was brought in to be their standout striker in the summer, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was on a hat-trick and he gave the final penalty to Lacazette to increase his confidence, basically. Lacazette scored, and actually when Lacazette came on at the weekend, he changed the dynamic of that match against Stoke, and I'm looking at him as even money to score any time. I think that will have given him confidence, and I think the way he was influential in changing the course of that game is a major positive for Arsenal as well. So I'm thinking even money, he's going to score any time against a CSKA Moscow side who aren't that good. It has to be said. They're not a brilliant side.
No, and Lacazette, I'd say, is probably quite likely to score because I think Arsenal scored two or three again in this one. And then you think, well, who's going to be scoring them? And you look at him at even money. And I take on board what you're saying. It's not the best even money shot I've ever seen by any means. But if you are angling for a bet in this, he's probably the way that I'd go.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you look at Mkhitaryan 7-5, Ramsey 7-4. Well, Lacazette is going to be in the box all the time, whereas they are in and out, aren't they?
Yeah.
I can see that, but I'd just have to back. It'd probably be Arsenal and both teams to score. That'd probably be the way that I'd go. I can see them conceding at one point. That's 9-4. You'll get a good run for your money with that, if nothing else. I just can't see CSKA upsetting Arsenal here. I think that Arsenal will score a couple of goals in the first leg. They'll go there and they'll probably get one. You know, it's a difficult punting game, this one.
Yeah, one other wrinkle in this game is that Igor Akinfeev, who is CSKA Moscow's keeper. He's kept a clean sheet in three of his last six European games. That's as many as he had kept in the previous 36. And he was in goal when these two sides met in the Champions League back in 2006-2007. So over 10 years ago, and he kept a clean sheet in both those games, which doesn't have any influence on the betting here.
That's
but
great stat. Where's that
just
from?
Just interesting. That's from Opta, that one, Alex.
No.
It is, honestly. Honestly, I wouldn't lie to you about something like that. But it's a nice little stat, that, isn't it?
It is.
It doesn't have any impact on your betting here, I don't think.
No, I'm just looking. I found the team lineups from that game.
Have you?
There's some... some bad old players in there.
Blast from the past.
Justin Hoyt, he's in there. Colo Torre, Thomas Rosicky. Jeremy Aliadier came off the bench.
Wow.
Crikey. Alexander Kleb, they're all there. And for CSK as well, Wagner Love. Oh, this is lovely. This is like Footy Manager.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm going as Lacazette my best bet, just to score any time at even money when you look around the options on the William Hill website.
Difficult game. Do you know what? I'll probably go Arsenal 2-1, Arsenal 3-1, correct scores. 15-2 and 11-1. I'll Dutch the two of them.
Yeah.
Fair run for your money. Yeah. I think Arsenal will score two or three in the game, and I can see them conceding. So, there you go.
Have you got a best bet?
Have I? Yes, let me tell you something.
Go on.
Completely different, and I mentioned this on another podcast. Sporting Lisbon to win the Europa League. They're 25-1. They are away at Atleti, first leg in the Europa League. They are worth a bet. They're 9-1 to win. They are 130 to qualify. They don't obviously have to win this one. They just have to keep it respectable. I'd take a 2-1 loss in this game. I just think that they're way too big. I think there's only three sides left in that competition that can win it. Arsenal, Atleti and Sporting. Mm. It's just unfortunate for Sporting that they're playing one of the big ones now. But I think they can beat them. I think that it's priced up completely wrong. Put it this way, Sporting at 9-1 or CSK at 7-1?
Yes.
I quite like Sporting. So it's not my best bet of the whole week, but it's certainly worth a look. And they're 25-1 to win the whole thing, given that they are playing the current favourites.
And good news for listeners as well, you will be presenting the Punt podcast on Thursday.
Is that good news?
I think so, because they're probably sick of listening to me.
Mm, I know I am.
Yeah, precisely.
Best bet, Leroy Sané, anytime, 9-4. Yeah. I just think it's a big old price. I really like him, and
he's bloody good, isn't he?
He's ruddy good, Dave. Yeah, he's got a left foot to die for.
He is.
I just think he's great, and the way that the game will be played as well, I think he could just find that little bit of room. Plus, one more thing, Liverpool's right backs are not great, are they? Alexander Arnold, who will be playing right back, got skinned against Palace numerous times.
Yeah.
And he is the, I'll say he's the weak link at the minute in the Liverpool back line.
Definitely, because Robertson's
playing really well.
Fantastic.
I'm not saying Alexander Arnold is a bad player, because he's not. But they are coming up against possibly the best team in Europe on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And currently one of the most informed wingers in Europe. He'll have it all to do. So 9-4 Sané anytime, best bet for me.
Alex, thank you for your company.
Thank you, Dave.
And make sure you're back and listening to us on Thursday, where we'll go through the Premier League matches and we'll have a guest from the FWA on the podcast as well. Myself and Alex signing off now, so do check out all the betting at williamhill.com, and don't forget you can get these podcasts delivered weekly at your usual podcast places by subscribing, and to do that just search for The Punt. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you're back with us on Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.